Very pleased to be joined now by Eric Francis for Eric Francis Fridays. Mr. Francis, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. We're literally getting closer because as each day goes by, like that's how time works. But it does feel like we are getting a touch closer to the start of an NHL season, whether that be January 1st or the 15th as the delays are going on. And it does lead one to start wondering what the season's going to look like. I think before we get too much further in this conversation, we're all in agreement that at least we're going to start out with an all-Canadian division, right? Like that seems like the most logical way for this all to go.
Yeah, and, you know, league officials have said as much without saying anything definitive, but they've all basically said, you know, acknowledged the obvious that with the border being essentially closed, you know, or at least with 14-day quarantines in effect, if you're going to cross the border, then it only makes sense. And I got to tell you, it just is at a time when we're looking for good news. That to me is an exciting prospect because you got a situation where every single game is exciting. No more Tuesday nights against Columbus. I mean, we all love hockey, but we don't love it that much where we want to watch every time they play Columbus or Minnesota or Florida. I mean, those are dogs on the schedule, but there are no dogs. Even to me, if you break down all the six Canadian teams that they would face, even the Ottawa Senators, which to me would hold about as little appeal as any in the league right now, at least they've got that brother matchup, which is pretty sexy. So, you know, if you go team by team, it is fantastic to think about what each matchup would bring.
Yeah, like whenever you tell someone you work in sports, it's, oh, that's amazing. Like, does it ever feel like a job? Tuesday against the Florida Panthers feels like a job. Like, that's when it feels like we're working, is watching some of those games. But no, I'm with you. Like, even the lamest game on the schedule, which would be Ottawa, like, you have the Battle of the Tkachuks. And like the Battle of Alberta was fantastic last year. And the Flames against the Canucks has been a rivalry for most of my life. And like, it's just on down the line, everything looks so exciting. But I think the one at the top, just in time for the Battle of Alberta to really get going, Calgary-Edmonton quite a few times this year is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, exactly. And, you know, like, I'd be interested in your thoughts in terms of handicapping. And, you know, I wrote a column on this exact thing the other day, and it got a lot of feedback from people because I think people are excited about this possibility. And I don't think there's much debate. Up until the moment that Matthew Tkachuk decided to target Zach Cassian, I would still submit to you that over the last 20 years, the chief rival of the Calgary Flames are the Vancouver Canucks. I don't know if you see it the same way, but I do. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that I think they've played five times in the playoffs against one another, including some of their most recent playoffs. But that Cassian, Tkachuk leading to the goalie fights, leading to all the other stuff, you know, that catapulted the Oilers right back on top of all the most delicious rivalries they have. Do you agree?
Absolutely, yes. So on both fronts, I do think the Canuck rivalry going back to like 2004 with the that series going to seven and really kickstarting the sea of red and that run for the Flames. And yeah, both teams just were relevant at the same time, where it never really seemed like Calgary and Edmonton crossed paths. But then Zach Cassian, I believe the phrase was got in the train tracks or something like that. And all of a sudden, things became just absolutely as close to the 90s as we're probably, or as close to the 80s, sorry, as we're probably going to get in the 2020s now. But no, yeah. I do think that rivalry now is the hottest one for Calgary.
And you know, when I first sat down to write this and kind of rank the in order what I thought the rivalries were in the Canadian division, you know, the Calgary Flames just stole whatever word you want to use. They just took four players from the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, Louis Domingue was not, I don't, you know, count him or not. You know, Josh Levo, Chris Tanev, and of course the big one, Jacob Markstrom. And those are massive. That is pillaging a team. I'm not sure we've seen in the NHL a pillaging like that in the last 20, 30 years. Like, I really can't think of anyone who's, you know, just so happy to take four players off of a team. Either way, and that's a great rivalry, has been for years. We'll be watching that one so closely. But even going back to the Oilers, even if Matthew Tkachuk didn't do what he did to single-handedly turn this thing around into the back to the battle again, you know, just the allure of watching Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, you know, two of the top three, four players in the world right now. That had its appeal. You know, the David Riddick stick toss, you know, that added to the whole appeal of everything. And again, the fact that they're both organizations feel like they're on the cusp of being relevant, or at the very least, you know, relevant or contenders. Choose whichever word you want. They both feel like they're on the verge of building something. I guess that's probably the best way, you know, building something significant. So all that combined, you know, really makes that a really sexy matchup. And then I don't know what you think in terms of the third most appealing matchup is, because, you know, we can go into the other ones too, but the fact that they just played Winnipeg, if they didn't just play Winnipeg in the playoffs, I would submit to you that, you know, that would be the least appealing of all the possible matchups. There's really no ties with Winnipeg. There's a couple Calgarians on the team, but do you agree that if they hadn't played in the playoffs, that might be at the bottom of the list?
Yes, yeah, I 100% would agree. And even then, like, it didn't really have the hatred of a regular playoff. Like, there wasn't, if they could have played that series in both arenas were packed in the sea of red against the whiteout in Winnipeg, maybe there's a bit more emotion involved. But I think that if you could do this and have every building be packed, it would still feel like Montreal or Toronto was a bigger deal because of the buzz in the dome every time those teams come compared to a Winnipeg. But I think given the format that we're probably going to have, Winnipeg probably is third on this.
And I think, you know, an added bonus when I really was brainstorming this stuff, I really think that's an interesting matchup too, because, you know, Connor Hellebuyck having won the Vezina this year, and hey, the Flames, Cam Talbot outplayed him in the playoffs. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, Jacob Markstrom, you know, we're led to believe in Calgary that this guy's going to be a Vezina contender for the next several years. You know, him facing off against the reigning Vezina Trophy winner, I think just adds to the appeal of it all, and it can serve as a bit of a benchmark. You can really, you know, see how the two play against each other and use them as a measuring stick as you move forward. So that's another kind of reason why I think that series will hold some more appeal than I think it normally otherwise would hold. But after that, you're right. The Montreal Canadiens, the Toronto Maple Leafs, every time they come to town or whenever the Flames play them, there's a buzz. You know, the two original six teams that everybody, there's such a history there. But the Montreal one got taken to another level because of Josh Anderson. I really believe that. The Calgary Flames wanted Josh Anderson so badly for the last 2 years. You know, and to see him now in a prominent role, to be the star in Montreal and to get the money he's getting, you know, will he stay healthy? Can he be a frontline deal? Will he live up to the expectations? Are the Flames happy that they didn't get him, or is it just another further proof that they were the right track by wanting him? And even Tyler Toffoli, I think he's been linked to the Flames a lot too. Paul Byron's another guy that everyone kind of looks at and goes, oh, he's the one that got away. Maybe Brett Kulak is another former Flame in Montreal that people look at as another guy who got away. All those things, you know, are very appealing to me when they play the Montreal Canadiens.
And then on the Toronto side of things, you have, obviously, whenever anyone plays the Leafs, like, half of the team is from Ontario, so there's a bit of a draw to that, and you have prominent players like Monahan, Giordano, and Bennett from the Toronto area, but also the added wrinkle this year of a matchup against TJ Brody after he leaves the Flames to go out east.
Yeah, and isn't it funny that, you know, TJ Brody will be in the spotlight? That's the place he least likes to be, right? I mean, TJ Brody loves to just be in the shadows and just do his job very diligently behind the scenes, doesn't do interviews very often, just is a quiet guy. And now he's going to be thrust into the spotlight, you know, 8, 10, 12 times a year. Think about that. That was another thing when I was thinking about this. If they play a 48-game schedule, which is what I kind of think they're probably going to end up having to do, but who knows? Let's see where all this goes. They still think right now they could play 82. If you play a 48-game schedule against only six teams, you're still playing every team a whole lot of times, right? I mean, it's amazing how many times you could end up playing these teams. So, and if it's an 82-game schedule against just six other opponents, start doing the math, and you might actually get bored or sick of some of these teams. But as you know, whenever you play back-to-back, and that's another thing I think people are understanding, that whatever the schedule looks like this year, it is going to involve back-to-back games pretty much every week. You're going to fly into a city and you're going to play the Flames twice in three nights, maybe, or maybe three times in four nights. And boy, you know how the bad blood can get boiling when you play on back-to-back nights or, you know, within a week. I love that. I think the league should have been doing that more in the past, and I now think they're going to be forced to do it. And I think it's a great thing for the league, too. So that's another benefit of, you know, this weird weird year that we're going to have here.
Chatting with Eric Francis on Eric Francis Fridays here on The Big Show at noon, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. My one concern is the too much of a good thing. Like, baseball has gone into this now where they saw how hot Red Sox against Yankees was. So now everyone plays division opponents 19 times. And that is far too many, and it makes it from making it like must watch TV to I'll catch the next one. And so my one concern is too much of a good thing in this sort of a thing.
Like, I agree. The Ottawa Senators, when they play them, for example, like we both agree they're the least interesting team in the division, if not the league, in my opinion. But you got the brother act to kind of carry it. But outside of that, and after they play a couple games, and it's pretty clear that they're never going to fight, as per their mom's directive, you know, I'm not sure how much appeal that series will have in games 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, right? Because, you know, by midseason, surely Ottawa will be out of the playoff picture, and it would get pretty old pretty quick. But I do think playing the Oilers will never get old. I really believe that, especially with the recent history that the two have had. The Oilers will never get old. The Vancouver Canucks, I don't think, will ever get old. That is also a really nasty team to play against. And I think that you've got a lot of sandpaper on both sides now in that little rivalry. And I think that that's going to make that has a potential of being just as ugly as the Battle of Alberta was. So I think those two I'll never get sick of. I'll never get sick of seeing the Leafs in town because the buzz and the history is so great. The Habs are the same way. Yes, Winnipeg and Ottawa, I'll grow tired of that pretty quickly, but potentially, you know, we have to see too. We have to give Winnipeg a chance. There's still a chance they may want to have Matthew Tkachuk atone for what he did. I mean, we all seem to think it was all dealt with, and him and Mark Scheifele are still friends, and I know they've been speaking all summer long. They work out together in the off season. So, but that doesn't mean other people it's sat well with. I just heard a podcast the other day with Matthew Tkachuk, and he talked about how while they were in the bubble in Edmonton, there was one point where him and Paul Maurice were walking into the hotel together, and he held the door open for Paul Maurice. And he said, Paul Maurice would not make eye contact with him. So Paul Maurice's disdain for Matthew Tkachuk was very real and is not exactly short-lived. It'll be something that will endure. So we'll have to see if that has some repercussions down the line.
God, I just want the documentary from in there so bad. I hope that there were cameras rolling and we get like the real, the real take on this thing a few years down the line, the Michael Jordan Last Dance-esque look at what life was like in Edmonton and Toronto for that little bit. Last one for you here as we wind down here on Eric Francis Fridays. It's been very quiet player movement wise for a while in the NHL. As we're talking about schedule and we're talking about matchups now, do you think the Flames are pretty well done with moves? I know we had talked early in the offseason about maybe some adjustments made to the top six. Obviously, that has not happened. Any thought that there might be something coming from the Flames, or is the roster that we see on Cap Friendly now the one that we're going to be seeing in training camp whenever that is?
Well, Brad Treliving says they're not done, but, you know, I think by that he means that he's going to go and invite three or four significant NHLers to come come on PTOs and try out for the team, and maybe they'll find the next Tobias Reeder. But I think fans would be pretty content if this was the roster they went to camp with. I think this is obviously the roster I think they're going to go to camp with outside of a couple PTOs. They may sign another right shot defenseman for depth somewhere, but that might be more towards filling that their AHL roster. So, no, I don't think they're going to be doing any more moves. It's so hard. Any move you make from now till the end of the year is going to have to be dollar in, dollar out, because everyone you're going to be dealing with is so up against either the cap or their budget. And I just don't see there being any wiggle room. What I'm fascinated to see, Peter, is what's going to happen to Mike Hoffman. Where are these guys? There are still significant free agents out there. And where are they going to land? Is it going to take an injury, you know, in preseason for one of these guys to get a shot. That's my guess. Somebody's going to get a significant injury in the preseason or in training just before camps open, and that will open up some cap space for a team to take a chance on a Mike Hoffman for a one-year deal where Hoffman can, you know, sign a show-me deal. Other than that, I think that we've seen all the significant moves, and everyone's just, you know, getting ready for camp whenever that is. And please don't ask me as a final question when camp's going to be, because I've given up trying to guess. I mean, I still think it'll be late January. If then, these spiking numbers are not going to help the situation.
No, certainly not. It's whatever it is, it's going to be interesting. Eric, we will let you go. Enjoy your weekend, sir.
Thanks, my friend. You know, one thing I just want to add, you know, the one good thing about all this is when you read all the different anything coming out of, you know, a potential season and what it's going to look like, you never hear anybody say that they don't think there will be hockey. And that's the exciting news. I mean, I think, you know, we're all convinced that there will be a season, however truncated it may be. And that's the good news. So, you know, in the playoffs, I don't think we had that guarantee. And now I think it's getting closer to being for sure that we're going to have a season. See you, my friend. Have a great weekend.
All right.